Let's stand together for just a moment. Wow. Thanks, choir. Musicians. Thank you for leading us today. Amen. Y'all give them a hand for what they're doing. No, I just want to tell you thank you for being here today. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being who you are. And I want to challenge you with something. We're really not going to be long today, so I don't even want you to look at your clocks. I know what some of y'all are going to do. Say, good gosh, when's this brother going to finish today? I want you to have a moment with God. You showed up at church to have a moment with God. When we come to worship, it's not just to get a few songs in, get a sermon in, cash in. We got an hour and five. We're out of here. That's stiff-necked. And you're going to hear an indictment about being stiff-necked today. And if you don't like religion, you're in the right church. Because I don't like it either. In fact, when I was over in Israel a few months ago, they would always say, well, man, I'm not religious. And I'd go, cool, me either. They go, what do you mean? You're not practicing religion? I said, no, I'm in a relationship with Jesus. I'm in a relationship. I'm not in a religion. And so if you came here to be religious today, it's a church down the road. It's not here. Amen. For just a moment, man, I want to tell you God loves you, and I want you to hear that. Even if you're tough and macho, you know, all that, God still loves you. Even if you've been hurt real deeply somewhere, God still loves you. No matter how you've been busted, God still loves you. And we ought to be grateful. One thing I want to challenge you to today is I want you to learn how to thank more than you complain. And hold on before you clap, because it's tough, man. It's tough, isn't it? I mean, we're a griping bunch of people, man. Listen, I gotta be honest with you, man. We Americans, I don't know who's won yet. It's between us and the Romans of being the most arrogant people that have ever existed on the face of humanity. I mean, we got to be honest with it before we get back. We're so self-absorbed, we don't even know we're selfish. That's how freaking consumed with self we are. And until we get rid of that and be thankful, man, we just miss life. And I don't want any of y'all to do that today. So I want to give you some heads up on the Word of God. I hope some of you decide to follow Jesus today. I believe He's drawing some folks today to be saved. He's drawing some of you to get baptized. He's telling some of y'all to just wake up. He's been with you all your life, and He just wants you to wake up and follow Him. Yeah? Some of you said, Steve, I just came to church today, man. I don't want all that to hit me. I want it to hit you in love, that you know you're loved by God in a real way. Amen? Western students, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm proud of you guys that graduated, okay? And listen, I want to prepare you now. You got to work 8 hours a day, and that doesn't need to mentally collapse you. That's kind of a normal thing, okay? You don't need to go see a therapist over that. Many, many millions of people have survived an 8-hour day, okay? You're going to make it. And you can't take off just when the sun comes up. Okay? A little different than college. Can't skip as many times. All right, let's pray. Lord, bless them. Well, we don't ask for a blessing because we need another item. We ask that we might come to our senses and live. Live this full and abundant life, that we'd be grateful, and that you would call us in a real way to be repaired by you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Y'all may be seated. We've been on this journey. We've been on this journey with Israel. Some of y'all have been really cool. You asked me, you said, hey, you said, you know what? This Israel people, they sound a whole lot like my personal life. I said, yeah, mine too. How many of y'all have some moments with God? You get it. And then you have some moments you just wander off and you do your own thing. How many of y'all have ever just done your own thing? And watch this. How many of y'all have done your own thing and expect the blessings of God? All right, that's where it's off base, okay? You got to do it like God's called you to do it. And I just want you to so you can kind of have the hub of this truth. We're going to Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through 6. But I want you to just go ahead and tell your neighbor, person sitting next to you, whoever it might be, I just want you to let them know, don't be stiff-necked. Go ahead and tell them that today. Don't be stiff-necked. So I'm gonna kind of, for some of you all that have never played the game of football, I'm gonna coach you up a little bit today to help you remember this. Keaton May, you'll remember this. You've heard this 500,000 zillion times. Get your head on a swivel. Get your head on a swivel. Look around. See what's going on. Chad Vicious, you've heard that a couple times, haven't you? When you're pulling to run that block, get your head on a swivel so you can see what, Chad? What's going on around you. How many of you realize that God's got more things going on in front of you than you can see? Amen. Than you can see. And what we want to do, Robert, is sometimes we get ungrateful because we start looking at what we can see and we forget what we can't see. Let me give you an example. Listen, if you're married and that marriage is on shaky ground, hold. 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 Now here's what a lot of people do, man. Listen, just listen to me. I want to give you some practical realities on these principles. You listen to me, they're coming. All right. Anybody that's married or fixing, here's a word we have in Kentucky. Fixing to, Wayne. Fixing to get married. If you're fixing to, hang in there. Barry Lindsay, I remember when you got married, you still hold the trophy after all these years. How many years have been now?
15.
Lord have mercy. You had color in your hair when you got married. You realize, look what it's done to you. You had black hair when you got married. Turn around there, Chase. Look, there it is, 15 years later. But you know what? Barry had, he still holds the trophy of the greatest delivery of the wedding vows to his wife. And Barry started crying and he got all touched. And every woman, and it was in that, looked at her husband during that wedding celebration and gave him an elbow. Like, why don't you act a little? I mean, Barry put the pressure on every man in this church. Because when I did my vows, I said, I do, and I had no idea what I'd just done. I mean, I'm just going to be honest about the whole deal. Be careful in a marriage because you know what? You don't know what the next 5 years are going to be like. And when you start projecting the future, watch this, based on the present, you will always limit your reality. No, I know I'm getting a little philosophical here today, but you know, if you just look at what you can see, you'll never get past that. Now watch this. Let God's promise intervene. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They got hung up in the present moment, remember, and it led to them building a golden calf. Now let's not be too hard on them. How many of y'all want to get your little stiff neck, you know, judgmental attitudes out and go, well, I'd never build an idol, baloney. How many of y'all have had a few idols in your life? Ah, me too. Watch this. A couple of idols I've had in my life have gone bankrupt. How many of you men have ever said this, man, if I just had that car or that truck or that deal, then I'd be all right? How many of y'all have ever said this? If I just could date that person, then my world would be wonderful. And you married her and you were the same people I was just talking about. Hang on. Here's what I'm telling you. Nothing will bless you like God. And we want to make things that are like God. And the problem is when we get around things that are like God, Kurt, they always fall short because there can only be one God. Everything I've owned tears up. Everything. Even Fords tear up. Chevrolet tears up. You Honda people cover years. My Harley tears up sometimes. Not like a Honda, but I mean it tears up, all right? I mean, at least when it tears up, it sounds manly when it does, okay? Look at here. Nothing will replace God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And I want to give you three principles today. The first one is this: trust God and know that He will place you in the promise. Okay? Note that. God will always place you in the promise, if you'll listen. Even when you've messed up. Chapter 33, verse 1. Now this is what's gone on. God separated little sheep from the goats. We got the people left. It depends on Jesus to be saved. It depends on God to fulfill the promise. You're going to see this right here. Look at here. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place. How many of y'all need to leave some places in your life that just stink? Why do we stay where it stinks? Why? We get used. How many of y'all are always talking about where you've been or what you might do instead of where you're going? I'm going to tell y'all something about the past. It is the past and it will not change. There are glorious moments in the past. Forget those. That doesn't mean there'll be more because there were glorious moments in the past. Okay? There's painful moments in the past. That doesn't mean there will be painful moments in the future. You've got to go to promise. And that's why God said, Moses, you tell the people that I brought up out of Egypt, he's reminding them who's in charge. Look at this. You and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I want you to know, if you read human history, it's amazing. This promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still being argued about in political circles at this very moment of time. I'll show you how current this is. This week coming, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, on May the 18th, the President of the United States of America will meet with the Prime Minister of Israel. Still, the promise in negotiation. And I'm going to tell you what, this is why I stand with Israel. It will be. See, it amazes me that after 1900 years of exile in 1948, there was formed a nation called Israel. And you say, well, Ayers, you don't fully understand politically. No, you don't understand. Your political system is minute compared to God's promise. Very minute. Anytime you think politics is going to trump God, you really need to get a real education. And understand that God doesn't need politics to exist. He doesn't. Watch this. The Romans couldn't control God. One of the greatest political systems ever designed. We model ourselves off of it. What we create, golden calves, won't stand like the promises God gives. Now, because I want you to have something to stand on today. Amen? Now listen, you got to leave some things to get some things going on. How many of y'all just simply need to leave some stuff? Just get out of there. Don't stay there in that mentality anymore. Don't stay with things that don't bless you. Amen? So you got to leave to get into the promise. Now, we have a hard time when things leave. Amen? I remember one time Elizabeth broke up with me, and I was heartbroken, tragedy. But she came back. Honey, you did leave once. I left a couple times, I understand. But I came back. So I had to leave where I'd gone to get back to where I was supposed to be. Any of y'all ever had to do that? He told Moses, he said, leave and follow. That's the rhythm. You graduates from college, guess what? You're leaving Western Kentucky University. Praise God, you had a great time. Thursday nights will never be the same in your life from here on out. I thought about the graduates. Some of them will be shell-shocked. For the first time, they're 22 to 25 years old. For the first time in their whole existence, many of them will get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They will go at 8 o'clock to work. They will be amazed because they will not have many breaks from 8 to 12. Many of them will stress out and have mental collapses by the time they get to 2 o'clock in the afternoon because it'll be the first time in their whole existence they've been occupied for 8 hours with no breaks. Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm not. I mean, I got people coming to my office and press tape. I don't know if I can make it or not. I'm working 40 hours a week. I go, yeah, I'm telling you, you're probably going to collapse. Now, hold on, I'm going to tell you the truth. We've created this generation, so don't laugh too hard, parents. You made them. You handed them everything. You told them everything was going to be all right no matter what they did. And you talked to the coach to get them playtime when they didn't deserve it. True story. I have 3 or 4 friends that are in the HR business. They're about my age, so they've been in corporate America a long time. One of them called me because he just had to tell me this because he knows I love tidbits like this. He said, Ayers, I've had a first. I said, what? He said, I've had a parent come in to the HR evaluation and totally cuss me out because their child didn't get a strong evaluation. And I said, what did you tell them? He said, well, I can't exactly tell you what I told them since you're a reverend now, but he said it was that. I said, that's what you should have told them, because guess what? They thought their child was still in elementary school and they were going to see the teacher and fuss at the teacher and blame the teacher for all the bad things that had happened because surely their child would never do anything. What? That's the golden calf of America. We do some things wrong. Hello? Y'all want to see life pour into you? First of all, you got to say, you know what? I've done some things wrong. I've built some golden calves. Now I'm going to get out of there. Because here's what God said. You got to be careful. Second thing, and don't be stiff-necked. Apparently, this ticks God off. How many of y'all okay with it? God does get ticked off every once in a while. I know I'm blowing some of y'all's bubble right here. Y'all got a Barney God. And he just floats through the sky. He blesses everybody no matter what they do. The problem, I can't find that God in the biblical text. I know you have that God in your mind. And Oprah has that God. But that's not the one that's in the Bible. The one that's in the Bible said there's a consequence for some of the things we do. You build a golden calf, you get golden God results. If you follow God's promise, you end up where? In His promise. Now, how many of y'all glad to know there's still a promise? It's called heaven. That's where we're all headed. Where? Heaven. Now, check this out. God says, Moses, I'm going to put them back. I am the God that pulled the people out of Egypt. I'm a God of promise. I gave an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out what? The Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and probably some mosquito bites along the way. I'm going to clear the land. Now, here's what I want you to know. Now, what are, come on, I need some of my social justice people. Y'all are all so high on social justice. Tell me about this situation. God is going to send an angel and drive these people out of the land and put Israel there in that land. It's not what? Come on, tell me. The Hittites should have had an equal rights group out there saying, how dare you, God, do this? And the Jebusites, they should have got them a good attorney and done what? Protested the move of God. Here's what I'm going to tell y'all. When God moves, He moves, and it's not fair. And you don't want God to be fair. How many of y'all want God to be fair? Oh, come on. Y'all want everything else to be fair. What about God? That means this. The first time you broke the Ten Commandments, He should have eliminated your existence. That would be what? God said, don't you did, you're gone. That's what? No, that's just. That's at the core of philosophical justice. Here's what you forget. You see, people who have justice alone. In fact, I was talking to my prof a couple of months ago, one of my mentors I did some of my studies under. And so I told him, I said, Dr. Sweet, what are you into, man? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, everybody's just going to be so blessed to know that they've stood up for all this justice and they're going to end up going to hell. He said, all their life. And then he said, what they're going to do is they scream for all this justice and all this fairness. And then at the end of the deal, they want their justice. You see, justice only comes to us, not because of law, but because of mercy. If you notice, go check it out in the Bible. Check me on this. I know you will, Leonard. Check me on this. Not every single time, but most every time, when the Bible talks about justice, what is the next word that follows? Mercy. Justice and mercy. God said, the only way that I can justify you is through my mercy, not through your actions. Hold on, this is going on here in Exodus. They just built a golden calf. What's the first thing God told them not to do? Have no other gods before me. What's the first thing they went and did? Come on, y'all who are parents, you know, as soon as you tell your children not to do it, what's the first thing they do? You wait, Brandon. You got two women. You're done. Watch this. If you left the house and said, girls, let me tell you what, don't flip that light switch. I'm going to tell you right now, the first thing they'll do when you drive out of the driveway, guess what they'll go do? They'll flip the light switch, and that's the one that you hadn't wired yet that will cause the spark that will cause the utility room to blow up. I promise. How many of y'all have ever kid ever done that? I remember my little brother, crazy. He's crazy. He's a musician, crazy. Crazy. I remember one time he was 3 years old, and our parents told us not to stick things in the light socket. How many of y'all remember that? I had some weird parents. They weren't said, hey, stick your finger in the light socket so you can have that experience so you'll never do it again. Hey, we knew not to stick stuff in the light socket. But he had this little, this was back when toys were made of metal and not plastic.
And he had this wrecker, like you pick up other toy cars with. It was solid metal. So I told him, I said, Mark, I wonder what would happen if you stick the back of that wrecker hook in the light socket. Now, guess what we knew? We knew the law. What did the law say? The law of Reginald said what? Don't be sticking stuff in light sockets. Right? Y'all have laws like that today. We understand principles, right? Don't go, guess what he did? I told him, I said, you stick it in there, I wonder what will happen. Well, being an inquisitive child, guess what he did? He stuck it in there. We lit up a whole house. Son. This was before you had breakers. We blew every fuse in that house. He just boom, 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 boom. And the truck kind of lit up. Now, him being my brother, he said, you think I should touch it? I said, yeah, I think you should touch it. See what I'm saying? I mean, if it fried him, what's a big deal? You get a new brother. Okay? So then my mother came in. Guess what she did? Ah! Because there was a glowing truck in the light socket. We violated the principle. Guess what God said? Have no other gods before me. Guess what they did? They created another god, a golden calf. Now, let's not be too hard on these folks called Israel because we do stuff like that. Here's what I want you to know, especially you graduates, okay? Let God lead and he will lead you to be a blessing. And I promise you, if you go look for your own blessing, you'll end up with a golden calf. How many of y'all found it to be so? Now, some of you that are a little bit older like me, I'm not ancient, but I mean, you've lived long enough to... How many of y'all have lived long enough to know some of the things your parents told you were true? Okay, yeah, that's called midway, okay? You begin to wake up and go, all right, that's why my mom and dad said that all the time. And here's what I love about having kids, and I even love having kids that grow up, and I love kids that leave the house. And after they leave the house, guess what they begin to discover? They go, that's why my parents were so crazy. They didn't want this to happen to me. It's the same thing with God. I just want you to know God wants great things to happen to you. And he saved you and he wants to take you to heaven. And I'm going to wrap up here because the second thing is, man, don't be stiff-necked. And here's why. When you're stiff-necked, you will not see what God is doing. Religious people tend to get stiff-necked. Here's what happens when you get stiff-necked. You try to be your own God. And when you got to be your own God, you'll condemn everybody else. Have y'all ever heard me tell you that this church could save you? Not one time. Man, you follow Hillview, you'll end up in hell. I'm telling you the truth. You follow me, guess where I can get you to? Guarantee it. Only the mercy of God can justify us. That's what we believe. Now look at here. Here comes God's promise. I just want you to know what's around. All right, so we got to leave. You got the three principles today. You got to leave and go where God's told you to go. All right? Chase, you know, if you get married, guess what I'll say? The first thing, biblical principles. Guess what the first thing is you got to do to be totally married? Here, Mr. Rogers is coming in on the phone. Leave. Leave and cleave. It's a biblical principle. To go to college, what did someone, Cameron, what did you have to do to go to college? First thing you had to do, you had to leave the house. You graduated. High school students, guess what? About to finish up another semester. Kara, guess what you will no longer be in 4 weeks? What? You'll no longer be a freshman. You will never be a freshman again in high school. That was quick, wasn't it? How many of y'all found this? This will be a little harder in this service. How many of y'all used to think 4 years was a long time? That's called youth. Larry Mustard, what's 4 years now? It's a blink of an eye. I mean, you're a grandfather. Now, you look like a grandparent. Emily doesn't, but you're starting to look like one, Larry. See what I'm saying? It happens, doesn't it? Boom! I looked at Elizabeth, and I can't believe she's got a kid in college. I can't believe she's got a kid that old. You know? Boom! Now, watch. Here's the good news. The promise of God will be in front of you before you know it. So stay with it. Look at here. We're finishing up. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare. But he said, I'm not going to go with you because you're a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. What do you think about that? God said, I'm going to send an angel. I'm not going with you right now because y'all have got me ticked off so bad I might destroy you on the way up there. But I'm glad God stays merciful, aren't you? Now, here's what I want you to know.
God's promise will always be good, but God isn't always comfortable with how we behave. Now, you all can understand this. How many of you as parents have enjoyed every activity of your child? And you just said, I just enjoy everything they do. I just embrace everything they say and everything decision they make, I'm delighted with. If my dad was in here right now, he would go, not. My dad always loved, my dad, very conservative, I grew up with an intellectual dad. He's brilliant guy. And I never forget when I was 17, 18 years old, I had this big jacked up four-wheel drive truck. I mean, jacked up, mudders on it, 400. I mean, I'm part of the global warming crisis, just that truck I drove. Got 4 miles a gallon. That's on a good day. Got 2 miles if you went uphill. Had a license plate on front of it. God, guns, and guts made America. Let's keep all three. Amen. It was a redneck truck. Well, it snowed real bad one day. One day I had to take my dad to work in my truck. So here's this sophisticated attorney, and I said, Dad, get on in here. He's a short man, so he had to climb up in the truck, all right? He gets up in the truck, and he looks around. He goes, do you ever wash this truck inside? I said, no, it's part of the aroma. Because we'd go mudding in it and stuff like that. And he'd go, it stinks in here. I said, yeah, Dad, but it's going to get you to work. And what was fun is when I got to lock it in four-wheel drive, I had it locked in, and there was a big snow drift. And I hit that sucker at about 40 miles an hour with my dad in there. And he got thrown back in the seat with that harness on. You know what? He didn't like me at that moment. But I was still his son. And he kind of looked at me when he got out of the truck like, how did this happen? How could I have raised something like this? How could I be me and you be you and somehow this? But you know what? He stayed with the promise. God was going to do something. Now, how many of y'all need to get back with the promise? God's going to do something. And not be so stiff-necked. Always talking about what happened to you. Well, maybe you need to let God happen in you. Because here's what he encourages. Take off what you think adorned you. Here's what he told the people. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. Remember, they put the ornaments on. Why? What did they wear in Egypt? Gold. And let me help you with this, okay? This is not about wearing jewelry or not wearing jewelry. This has been real misinterpreted by some of the traditions of the faith. This is about trusting Egypt or trusting who? God. Has nothing to do with jewelry. I mean, God doesn't have any problem with bling. He has problem when you trust your bling. Let me ask y'all a question. You young people, are you more concerned about the designer of your clothes or the designer of your life? Now that'll put it in perspective. Because just think about it. I mean, you get to go like this, life by Jesus. Here's what I'm wearing, life by Jesus. I mean, it rocks my world. I remember when my daughter was in seventh grade, she told me that girls were buying purses, what, Louis Vuitton or something like that? Some kind of deal. What is it? Some of y'all know. What is it? Yeah, they were custom purses. Purses cost $1,200. Now listen, I hope you're not offended, but you're not real smart if you're carrying a $1,200 purse. You're just not smart. Buy you a $100 purse and carry $1,100. That's what I'm saying. That's a smart person. See what I'm saying? Buy you a $100 purse and carry you $1,100. Amen, Barry Lindsay. You say amen on that, right? You never bought one of those, have you, honey? I think I bought you a fake one time from New York. But it only cost me $10, made of vinyl. I said, go make some money and put in this purse. But anyway, Clayson came home and she said, Daddy, I'm telling you this is happening and I'm never going to ask for one of these. And listen, don't go off because I didn't even want to hear about it. I'm just telling you what's going on, Dad. She said, 12-year-old girl's getting $1,200 purses to fit an image so they can fit in. How sad have we become? And we wonder why we've gone broke. Elizabeth and I were on, we went to this big fancy mall out west in a little town called Las Vegas. And they had 550 dollar blue jeans out there with apples on the back pocket. Apple bottoms. I said, Elizabeth, I need to get in the jean business. I'm going to slap some grapes on the back of some of them and charge 700. Hold on. I want you to see hope. Listen, I'm tired of y'all telling me you don't have a job. Anything can happen in America. It's still a good company. It's a good country. Look, you and I live in a country where somebody woke up broke one morning in the 80s, walked out to his driveway and said, you know what? I'm going to sell some rocks. Put them in a little box. Put them in a box. Put some Easter basket grass in a box. Put a rock on top of them and sold them as pet rocks. He came a millionaire out of his driveway. Now hold on. Now watch. Some of your parents did this. How many of y'all owned a pet rock? Come on. There are people in this congregation that have had them. Look at this. Children, let me help you. These are your parents. It's America. True? It's America. Now hold on. Here's the final thing. Don't be so tight. Don't be so stiff-necked, God says, that you can't see what I can do. And so here's your challenge today. How many of y'all are willing to let God's promise come through in your life, even when you can't see it and feel it in a moment? It's serious business, because I want to let you know, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ in this moment of time, it's going to be tough. I'm going to tell you right now, if I talked about other people groups, like the media talks about Christians, we'd have CNN, NBC, Fox News. You wouldn't believe. I'd have the ACLU, the prosecutors for this group, that group, that group. If I said the same rhetoric to other people groups that people say about Christians, you know what? I ain't got to demand my rights. And guess what? I'm not offended when people bash Christians. You know why? The mercy of the promise. God said it, it will be. And guess what God said? He said, you will be in heaven if you trust Jesus. You will be in heaven if you ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You will be with Him no matter what. I've just found God to make good on His promise. Amen? So as you graduate from college and high school and kindergarten and preschool, whatever you're graduating from, grad school, wow, I'm excited. This year we've had three lawyers graduate out of Hillview Heights Church. Isn't that cool? Three attorneys. Y'all ought to be excited about that. How many attorneys you know go to church? You know what I'm praying? I'm saying, God, make guess how they can be radical. What if they become an honest attorney? Now, there's something that'll fry America. You know what I'd like to see? I think it'd blow the world away. An honest politician. You're talking about turning heads. I mean, if they just looked and said, yeah, I did that. I messed up as a human being. Just like all the other human beings I'm trying to serve. And we got to get it right now. I wonder what that would do. Well, that'd fry people's brains. I mean, they wouldn't know what to do. You see, we've gotten used to the golden calf. And I think God's asking the church, stand up, my stiff-necked people, and loosen up. And praise me and follow me and work with me, because look how it ends. And we're done. God says, I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. They let go what they trusted to follow what God had promised. So today, guess what? Think about what you trust. Maybe money, it may be image, it may be designer clothes. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. But how many of y'all trust something other than the promise of God? Now let me tell you the good news. And there's going to be some people get saved today. Y'all okay with that? You know, I really want every one of you to go to heaven. Even people, I want people that I don't like to go to heaven. How many of y'all are that far along? Amen. Yeah, people I don't like, I want them to be in heaven. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Now, here's the way some of you all deal with hell. Well, I just believe it doesn't exist. Do you think that changes its existence just because you say it doesn't exist? No. If you think you've got that much power, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take off running through for a wall and go, I don't believe it's there. 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 And see what happens when you make contact. What will you find out? Yeah, exactly right. Here's what I want you to know. Humanity's a wonderful thing, but it's not an everything. In fact, last night I watched that movie, Jim Carrey in it. Yes. Y'all seen that yet? Yes, man. That's a crazy movie. Well, I locked the movie for a second. I said, wait a minute. I told Elizabeth, I said, this is what we're missing in America. The Yes Church. We don't have a Yes Church. Yes, God, I'll believe you forgive people. Yes, God, I'll go tell my friends about Jesus. Yes, God, I'll love those that I don't even like. Yes, God, I'll welcome all people to your kingdom. Yes, God, I'll just do what you said do. But what about when they pick on you? Yes, God, I'll go on. Even if it means riding on the back of a scooter with a crazy woman riding it. I'll trust you. That was in the movie. You can go check it out. It's a pretty good movie. They didn't even cuss much, I don't think. I didn't detect any much cussing in the movie. Pretty funny movie. Jim Carrey, you know, he's funny. It's okay to be funny and holy. It's okay to live life. Because what's the ultimate promise? You let Jesus into you. He takes you where? Heaven. That's the ultimate deal. So, that's the gig. Justice, I fully support it. But I know it's impossible without mercy. Without mercy. People get on me all the time. Elizabeth tells me, she said, honey, you're going to be arrested one day because you're not politically correct. I said, well, the reason I'm not politically correct is because I really do love people. And I said, I'm under the grace and mercy of God. So when you get under the grace and mercy of God, you can tell the truth. You see, when you're lost, you got to be politically correct. Because you're trying to create salvation on your own terms. And so here's what we really believe in America today. As long as you're not offended, you're having a good life. Here's what I say. Once you get offended, you'll know life. Let me explain. Once your sin offends you, you'll want to get rid of it and you'll find Jesus. Amen? In recovery, we call it this. You'll never stop doing what you're doing till you get sick and tired of doing what you're doing. There you go. Same deal. All right? Y'all been beautiful. How about a yes day at the altar? What do you think? Some of you all, yes, you need to be baptized.
You're going, well, Pastor, why should I be baptized?
Jesus said so is like my running answer to that question.
Well, what will it do to me?
You will be wet. That's one thing I know. It also lets the world know that you got enough belief that you're willing to confess your sin in baptism. It lets you know that, you know what, there's a whole lot of other people that are with you on this journey. Amen. So let's stand up and we're going to invite you to the grace of God. Wow. Church isn't over yet. Okay, everybody pause. I know y'all are getting watched. This is a real good time at the altar to be what? What? What did we just talk about today? How many of y'all get stiff-necked at the altar? Holy Spirit moves on you. Go, I'll tell you what, I ain't moving no matter what, by God. It'll be over 5 minutes if I just hold on here. I'm going to start thinking about Kentucky Fried Chicken. That'll get Jesus off my mind. All right? Hey, listen. What? Once again, look. We're in church. We're not at a funeral. We're at a living event. It's okay to be real. It's okay to be human. How many of y'all probably messed up this week sometime, at least once, that you're convinced of? Yeah, me too. How many of y'all probably said something you shouldn't have said? Yeah, you said it to me, Elizabeth. I remember. I'm glad you got your hand up. Glad you got your hand up. She didn't. Well, she did, but it's okay. That's life. You ready? How many of you college students thought you was probably going to fail a final at least once sometime during this week? Yeah. But what did you end up doing? Passing it. So let's bless them, folks. You ready? I'm going to pray. Listen, if God's telling you to come and be saved today, guess what you need to do? Just do it. Oh, by the way,
All right, hold on. Let me help you. We've got new folks here today. I always love having new folks. We have new folks every Sunday. You can come to the altar. There's nothing scary up here. People are just making decisions. It's cool. Okay, we love you. We love you. It's okay. Now listen. Listen. We're going to have a time at the altar, and then I got to tell you some good things that are coming up Wednesday night that you don't want to miss, okay? So be open to what God's doing. Y'all got that balcony? Y'all been well behaved up there in the balcony today. I've been impressed. All right? Nothing more important than you meeting Jesus today. Nothing more important today than you coming and just praying. How many of y'all need to be grateful? Yeah. And just come down here and thank God. Look, everybody's here today. That's cool. Everybody in this room, let me tell you what I love about preaching. Everybody in this room right now, I believe Dr. Ward has an opportunity to receive Jesus. Right now, at this moment. Now, I don't know how long that moment will last, but right now there's a moment. And so I just want to pray you do what God asks you to do, all right? Lord, thank you. God, I thank you for being able to live in the United States. God, you've given us so much stuff. And so, God, I ask you to reach out today for those that just need to receive you, that they do it right now. God, those that just need to come and say, I'm grateful. God, I thank you for Elizabeth Grace and other babies being born to young couples. I thank you for the weddings that'll go on all summer long. In the new couples that'll be formed by fall. Lord, I thank you for the spring and those who will fall madly in love, and even those who will fall out of it by the middle of July. Lord, I thank you that you stay with us. You stay with us. Amen. So guys, if you need a relationship with Jesus, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. That's happened all day today. People have been saved. God would love to save you. He would love to take you to heaven. That's what I'm telling you. Why don't you tell him you need to repent of your sins and you believe he died and he lives and see what he does. See what happens. I believe his promise is good, but it's up to you to see what you believe. How many could just come down here today and give thanks? So guess what? The altar's open. Let God speak to your heart. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Come on, church. Let's pray together, live together, love together. Let God speak to you. Come on.